Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Yeah, welcome back to Going In Raw. Matt Chat, the only place here at youtube.com/Stephen Larson, where we take the video questions from our $20 and up patrons over at patreon.com/Stephen Larson and answer those questions in a debate style format. That's right. We're also available at Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. This shirt right here. Many more shirts. That is not.
Not one of them.
Not one of our shirts. Many other shirts, though. Got one behind the camera. It's a Going In Raw shirt. There's a Slow Wolf camera. I mean, Slow Wolf shirt. Oh, that's what I forgot to wear today. I could have worn my. I forgot I have that. I washed it.
You should have wore it.
I should have wore it. Anyways, we are here to debate pressing issues in the world of professional wrestling, Larson.
Oh, we should also notice the programming change.
Yeah.
Matt Chats on Sundays now. We get 2 Matt Chats a month.
Yeah.
Every 2 weeks.
Scale it down a little bit.
A little bit. We're going to reshuffle some things. You may have noticed that Friday. This past Friday saw the return of Dirt Sheet in its original form. Friday Dirt Sheets are back for the foreseeable future. Matt Chats moved to Sunday at least twice a month.
Yes.
That's the plan now.
Yeah, very exciting changes on Going In Raw.
We're always trying to make stuff better.
Yeah, I like when you come over and you say, hey, let me ask you something. And I'm like, oh, nice. He's been thinking about the channel. That's always good. Because I have like a minute. Let me ask you something. Do you ever think about like what like our final form would be? Like long term?
Not really.
Sometimes I do. I have ideas, but I'm like,
I always consider this whole thing a process. And if you ever say this is what our final form is going to be, I think you run the risk of limiting yourself.
No, man. Well, final form would be us clearing $1 billion a year.
Well, that's never.
That's all I really think of.
That's never
really
going to happen.
Don't ever say never. See, you're thinking too small now. Talk about limiting ourselves.
Never.
Our first question comes to us from Alex Knight. Knight?
Knight.
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 There's a K in front of it. That's a little weird for there to be a.
It's just, not at all. It's a lot. K? It's a lot of words that are spelled that way.
Name one.
Knight. Knife. Knit.
Well, hold on a second.
Kneel.
Oh, yeah. Kneel. N-E-A-L.
No.
Let's see what Alex has to say.
Yes.
Hey, Stephen Larson. It is Alex Knight here with my very first video question. So let's just say, hypothetically, Roman Reigns wasn't going to be the next Universal Champion. However, we all know that Vince really wants his Roman experiment to work, so he's inevitably going to be the Universal Champion next year at WrestleMania. However, I want you guys to debate who should be the next Universal Champion. I'm going to give you guys 2 options. Larson, I would like you to debate that The Miz should be the next Universal Champion, because he was tweeting out hinting that he is now a main event player. And Steve, I want you to debate that Finn Balor should be the next Universal Champion. Happy holidays, friendos.
Thank you, Alex Knight.
The answer, thank you, Alex Knight, don't touch me.
You touched me.
Finn Balor should be the Intercontinental.
Not Intercontinental.
I know deep
Universal
down.
Universal Champion.
Deep down, you want to do violence on me sometimes. You want to prove that you're not just a little,
sometimes.
You're just a little baby boy.
All the time.
You're a big, strong man. But it's okay. Finn Balor, next Universal Champion. He was the first Universal Champion. He has every right to be the next Universal Champion. Let's take a look at the numbers, Larson. Have you seen, I have right here on my phone, the WWE merchandise numbers for Finn Balor.
Wow. You don't.
They're huge, LA. Huge. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
He was
no.
The car guy.
I don't remember that.
He was a car salesman in L.A.
Oh.
And he'd say, these deals are huge.
I don't remember that at all.
Anyways. Yeah, man, come on. It should be Finn Balor. Give me a break. He got screwed out of his first title reign because freaking Seth Rollins doesn't know how to deliver a buckle bomb or a barricade bomb, whatever the thing was.
It was an accident,
he
man.
He threw him into the barricade and he got injured. He's an unsafe worker. You
not
know,
true.
According to Bret Hart, he knows more about wrestling than you, that's for sure. Anyways. He is, and this is a complete shoot, he's easily one of the most over guys in the entire WWE. He walks out there, he puts his hands up, everybody puts their hands up too. His demon merchandise sells off the hook. It's crazy. The demon persona currently is undefeated. Demon walks in,
well,
Universal Champion.
WWE it is, not in NXT.
Is that actually true?
Yeah, he lost to Samoa Joe as the Demon.
As the Demon?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's not canon. It's NXT. Look at Bobby Roode. Anyways, yeah, I mean, I think it makes all the sense in the world. He's the most over guy. On top of that, Vince has really been loading up on these giant monster type guys. Brock, Roman, I mean, he's not really a monster, but he hangs with the monsters. Samoa Joe, Braun Strowman. How great would it be to see Finn Balor in there mixing it up with guys like the people I just mentioned? I think it'd be great. People would be super into it. And then at the next Survivor Series, you can get AJ versus Finn, part two, champion versus champion. Oh my gosh, that'd be amazing. People would mark out big time. You'd have both members of Bullet, both leaders of Bullet Club as the grand champions. On top of that, what better way, what better recruiting tactic would that be for Vince McMahon to say, Kenny Omega, look at our two champions. They're Bullet Club. Come on, sign with us. And he'd say, no. Yeah, no, it should be Finn Balor. Easily Finn Balor. Go ahead and make your lame case for The Miz.
Well, it should be The Miz.
No.
The Miz has a
not legit.
Oh, super legit. He is the most over heel on Raw with the fans. Fans love him, yet he's still a heel. He has a built-in story with Roman Reigns.
Oh, I forgot to do this for Finn Balor.
You did.
Do I look cool now? Everybody looks cool.
You gotta put your hands up like this, too. There you go. Anyways,
sorry,
he has a built-in story with Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns took the Intercontinental title from him. Miz is off shooting a major motion picture right now. Upon his return, perhaps after WrestleMania, Roman Reigns will now be Universal Champion. Miz can say, you took what was most important from me. I'm going to take what's most important from you now, that being the Universal Championship. Their match for the Intercontinental title was good. Miz does great, great, great promo work. Imagine the shoot-style promo he could do in Roman's direction.
On his iPhone.
Yeah, in the car, on his iPhone,
dropping
in the ring,
F-bombs.
During Miz TV. All great stuff. The Miz is on the precipice, I think, of catapulting himself back into the main event scene. His previous reign as WWE champion wasn't that great. His main event match at WrestleMania 27 wasn't that great. He has matured a lot as a person.
He's a whole new person.
As a wrestler. And I think now he is very much ready for return to the main event. And I think a program between him and Roman Reigns would be outstanding. Him being the one taking the Universal title off Reigns would be outstanding. And then Miz can get the program with Finn Balor. They laid the groundwork for that for a little while. Get the belt on Balor that way. That way you don't have a face versus face showdown for the Universal Championship with Reigns taking on Finn. Have Miz take it off him. Have that Universal title for 4 months. Get in a program with Finn. Have Finn be the one to carry it after that.
Can I be honest with you?
What?
I kind of like your scenario better.
It is better.
All right, relax. I just gave you a freaking compliment.
I'm confirming that you gave me a compliment.
For the reaction that we would get from Miz and Roman alone, I would love for Miz to be the next Universal Champion. The crowd would eat it up so hardcore.
Yeah.
The problem is, you would have to then transition. You'd have to transition to Finn Balor because the Miz, I'm not sure how long he could sustain a face run when he so needs to be a heel.
Who?
The Miz.
No, Miz will still be a heel.
Yeah, I know. But, dude, once he wins that, he's not going to – it's going to be one of those things where you're not really –
No, I understand your point, I think, is if he beats Roman and bests Roman not only in the ring but obviously on the mic,
yeah,
he's going to turn to the face of that program.
Yeah.
And if you want to keep him as heel, you have to get him in a program with somebody who is unquestionably over as a face. Mm-hmm. Someone like Finn Balor.
Yeah.
I think that was what you're trying to say, correct?
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know how long he can
keep being heel, being as good as what he is.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I feel like the bloom would come off the Miz pretty quickly. I think that's what I'm saying.
Mm.
But anyways, no, I think that'd be great. Next up from Sid Swami, let's see what he has to say.
Howdy, homies. Sid Swami here from Roanoke, Virginia, with my very first Matt Chat question. This one's about New Japan. As we've known, New Japan has made a huge resurgence in popularity in this past year, and I was curious what you would credit more with this newfound popularity. Is it the homegrown talent like Okada, Tanahashi, or Naito, or is it their use of gaijin talent like Kenny Omega, Brock Lesnar, and most recently Chris Jericho. Obviously, there's probably a good argument for both of those, and I'll let you guys decide who does it. Two sweet friendos.
A lot of alliteration there with the S's there, Sid. I love New Japan questions.
Oh, thank you, Sid.
Sid, thank you for your support, and welcome to the Matt Chat family.
Mm-hmm.
Why is New Japan more successful now?
No, I'll tell you why.
Go ahead.
From what I could tell, New Japan's resurgence began with a crop of new talent, headlined by Hiroshi Tanahashi, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Shibata.
Mm-hmm.
They were all the same class of young lions, I believe, or around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Tanahashi and Nakamura's ascent, quick ascent to the top of the card, pairing their insane charisma with their fantastic wrestling abilities, brought about kind of like a new era of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Because from what I understand, prior to that, they were, you know, kind of wallowing the doldrums a little bit. I mean, they were still obviously the largest promotion in Japan and probably the second largest promotion in the entire world, but they were really in no way were getting the spotlight that they obviously are now. So I think if it hadn't been for Tanahashi, for Nakamura, and later on Okada putting on stellar performances year after year after year, match after match, gaining the attention of wrestling writers such as Dave Meltzer, who obviously paid attention to New Japan probably the whole time, but he started doling out 5-star matches to everybody in New Japan around that time because the matches were good. Shortly after that, you had the arrival of Finn Balor, of Carl Anderson.
They're not homegrown guys.
I understand that.
Yeah, I'm supposed to talk about
that. I'm understanding that. But I'm saying without that initial resurgence, I mean, like Nakamura made New Japan seem like a cool place to be because he's a cool guy.
He's really cool.
He's really cool.
There's no debating that.
No, Tanahashi seems like a cool guy.
He's kind of dorky. Love and energy is not cool, man.
But the air guitar is cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I think without that, the homegrown talent kickstarting things, I don't know if it would have it would have been as appealing of a place for gaijin wrestlers to come to, and I don't know if it would have sparked this renaissance of New Japan to how we see it now, because I said first Tanahashi, Nakamura, and then Okada, then Naito, and now you have Takahashi. Oh, Kushida was in there as well, that second crop. And it seems like they continually churn out outstanding young talent via their Young Lion program. and they seem like they always have new stars ready to push up the card. That, in turn, attracts some of the best international wrestlers to the promotion. And then you have great matches across the board. I think that's really spurred the resurgence was the homegrown talent. Now you go.
All right, man. I got one word for you, Larson. Bullet Club is for real. It's Bullet Club, man. It's foreigners. Here's the thing, man. Yeah, they might have been trucking along. They were building thanks to the booking of Gato and apparently Jado also.
Yeah.
I think mainly Gato. I don't know how it works, but I know they're involved. Thanks to their long-term booking of stars. And by the way, we are not experts in any definition. But
yeah, my timeline of New Japan history could be way off.
Exactly. So yeah, thanks to the homegrown stars of New Japan, there absolutely was a resurgence. Tanahashi, they talk about him as one of the greatest of all time. Now we're seeing this epic run by Okada. Naito's posed to take that title off him, and it's going to be fantastic. However, I believe that what sparked all that huge resurgence, yes, to one degree, might have been Shinsuke Nakamura and Chaos, but it was Bullet Club. Because all of a sudden you bring what into the equation? cool into the equation.
Oh, Nakamura was cool, man.
Yeah, man, he was cool, but you need a cool villain, man. You need a really cool villain.
Chaos was a heel faction.
Yeah, I know, but it wasn't anything until Bullet Club, Karen. You walking around like pointing your fingers at people and doing this stuff? Come on, man. Why is it we know about New Japan today? It's because of Bullet Club. In Hot Topic? Now I'm talking. What's in Hot Topic? Bullet Club, Young Bucks. If it wasn't for those guys, for the Gaijin, which I believe means foreign wrestlers, they're foreign to Japan. Chase Owens, Tama Tonga.
Oh, Chase Owens. Yeah, you convinced me.
Jeff
now.
Jarrett.
Oh, I'm convinced.
Also, AJ Styles, Machine Gun, Carl Anderson. If it wasn't for those guys, I do believe everybody else wouldn't have stepped up their game even more. You see what happens when New Japan loses a guy like Shinsuke Nakamura, who, yes, is the king of not just of strong style, but of cool. And what happens? Oh, things are going to fall apart. No, things don't fall apart. Bullet Club is there to step in the place and be the new kings of cool. And that's why you see them so popular today. It's not just their homegrown stars, but the injection of Bullet Club into New Japan is reason number one. When you look out into the crowds, even with Shinsuke on SmackDown now, when you look out in the crowds at NXT, on main roster, in the crowds, you don't see Chaos shirts. You don't see, I mean, there's one, you know, a Rainmaker shirt here or there. You don't see, really even LIJ merchandise, which there should be because they're cool. You see Bullet Club everywhere. So if you really want to talk about success is transcending your own territory. And that's what New Japan is doing now on the backs of...
I think we can both be right.
Yeah, we're both absolutely right, of course.
Yeah.
Of course it's both. Come on, give me a break.
It is both.
Yeah.
Anyways. Of course it's both.
Of course it's both.
Next
up. Oh, I love...
Liam Wagner.
Liam Wagner?
Liam Wagner.
What is this idiot?
Oh, my goodness. See what Liam has to say.
Too sweet, Liam Wagner.
What's going on, friendos? Liam's back with another video question. I'm trying to talk over SmackDown so I don't get demonetized. Anyway, WrestleMania is coming up. We know this. Three of the best competitors, in-ring performers in the world, are on WWE's brand. Finn Balor, AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura. Which of these three would have a better match, meaning either it's going to be, for example, Shinsuke versus AJ, but that third person is not going to be on the WrestleMania card? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Liam.
Thanks, Liam.
Liam!
I don't know what that means. Anyways, man, what an interesting predicament, young Liam. The Young Lime Club.
Young Liam.
Young Liam shows us, or provides to us. AJ Nakamura, Finn Balor. One of the men can't be there.
Yeah, you only have two of the three in a WrestleMania match. The other one is not on the card.
Well, the answer is obvious, Larson. One of my favorite matches of all time happened at Wrestle Kingdom a couple years ago. AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. And I want to see part two. AJ has been teasing it on the house show circuit while they're over there in Europe. I believe they were doing quite a bit of that. They teased it in the lead up to Money in the Bank. Look, man, Shinsuke wasn't even on TV this past week. He is cold as ice. And in order to kickstart what should be an epic run in the WWE, you need Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles on the biggest stage of them all at WrestleMania for the WWE title, which in my eyes is still the most important title in the business. And let them put on the match we all know they can and should put on. I'm sorry, Finn, but you are not real. He'd have to get left out. Look, we got to see the WWE without Finn Balor after his SummerSlam incident a year ago. And yeah, it sucked. I love Finn Balor. I love Finn Balor. But if I get AJ versus Nakamura, that would be real.
All right. I can't agree with you, so I have to say another matchup. And we saw how hype the crowd was for Finn Balor versus AJ Styles.
They did the two sweet. Look, we're off camera. You can do it. We're off camera.
At TLC. That match was good, but considering it was rushed, quickly put together, from all indications.
It was very rushly put together.
Yeah, AJ and Finn had very little time to actually work out the match.
Sure.
And despite all that, it was a decent match. It was pretty good.
Huge.
Imagine if they're involved in a program that builds up to it. They have time to work out the match. They have time to tell a story leading up to and in the match. I think it could be some next level stuff.
Oh yeah.
Two of the best wrestlers in the entire company. It's a bummer leaving Nakamura out, but as it stands right now, I don't think he has momentum heading into WrestleMania to that would lead me to believe that a match with AJ is forthcoming at WrestleMania 34, whereas I think Vince may have seen the fan reaction to Finn versus AJ at TLC, think to himself, wow, with some actual build, this could be money. Have Finn come over to SmackDown for whatever reason. Challenge AJ for that title. Get a story. Get a program. License to print money.
Oh, so much money.
So much money. Huge. Give those two guys 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Let them do whatever they want.
Time limit
draw. Tear the house down.
Time limit draw.
Tear the house down.
How about that? No, that'd be fantastic. AJ needs to get that win back from Finn.
Yep.
That could be a huge build. That could be amazing. I like any of these circumstances, but you know what? All three men, hopefully they'll all still be healthy around WrestleMania. We'll get to see all of them.
Triple threat. Why choose two of the three when we can have all?
Who wouldn't want to see that?
All.
It'd be great.
All of them.
Next up from our good friendo, Juggernuts. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, friendos. It's Juggernuts here with another video question. So, I'm just going to keep it short this time. The Roman Reigns IC title open challenge. Are people going to be into it, or are they going to see it as nothing more than a rehash of what Cena did in 2015? I, for one, have high hopes for him. I don't hate the guy, but you know how it is with him. It's that, as you so eloquently put it, that Pavlovian response to him. Looking forward to hearing this one. Thanks, friendos. See ya. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Juggernuts.
Thank you.
So, Roman Reigns has this kind of... I mean, WWE.com kind of said, oh, is he going to do an open challenge with the Intercontinental title? I don't know if that was really established on Raw this past week.
Right.
But let's assume that's the plan moving forward.
Okie doke.
Will people be into it? I assume there'll be a certain portion of the audience who will think this is just a pale imitation of John Cena's U.S. Open Challenge. But in my mind, the best part about John Cena's Open Challenge can be successfully emulated with Roman Reigns, and that is introducing new up-and-coming talent to the upper mid-card.
Mm-hmm.
This past week, we saw Elias Samson challenge Roman Reigns for Intercontinental title, and it was a great showing for the Drifter.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, that's how the larger WWE Universe became familiar with Sami Zayn when he answered John Cena's open challenge, to Kevin Owens when he stepped up to John Cena while Cena was a U.S. champion. I think Roman, having a similar open challenge, could do the same for a lot of talents, either in NXT or 205 Live, or people who are just kind of inhabiting the mid-card currently on Raw. And I think it could do wonders. I think Elias' showing alone elevated his stock immensely. Imagine, we've been saying this for the last couple of days, Cedric Alexander answered Roman's challenge, put on an awesome match.
Yes.
How that would increase his stock. Have Aleister Black show up on Raw, answer the challenge. I don't really want to see him lose. At the same time, he can put on a great match with Roman Reigns and look great, or do a Kevin Owens situation where he just shows up, beats up Roman, makes an impact, and doesn't necessarily hang around. Something like that.
All right,
I'm not done yet. All right, I guess I'm done.
All right, here's the deal. You just said it. Aleister Black shows up. You don't want to see him lose. That's why this open challenge, although, yes, it would be kind of cool to see new stars take up the mantle. Look, we all love open challenges. We love the idea of them. However, in this case, it's different. I know there was a report out, or there was a rumor going around, that Roman Reigns is going to drop the IC title before WrestleMania. I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, he could drop it if he just gives it to somebody.
Right, exactly. And that's the problem.
He's not
with
getting
this.
Pinned between now and Mania.
If he comes out and, like they do in New Japan, he challenges Brock for the Universal title, or if he does go over the Rumble, but now there's rumors that that's not going to happen, but I still think it's going to. If he just vacates it because he's got a shot at the Universal title, then okay, I could maybe see that. But I think Vince has fond memories of Hogan Warrior when Warrior walked in there with the ice. I'm not talking about Halloween Havoc 98. When Warrior walked into WrestleMania with the Intercontinental Championship and left with both belts. And I think that's what Roman Reigns is going to do. And because of that, the open challenge kind of loses some of its stank because it doesn't matter who comes out. They're just going to job to Roman Reigns.
Well, here's the thing. When Cena was doing it, no one was going to beat Cena on Raw for the U.S. title. Every matchup made it seem fairly obvious that Cena was going to hold on the belt. But the purpose of that open challenge wasn't necessarily the results. It was the process of the challenge, the process of the match, and elevating talent. I think that could still be accomplished with
Roman. I don't 100% disagree with you. However, the obvious difference there is there was no real big plan for John Cena and that United States Championship or him going forward in terms of, we know for a fact. I mean, did we know that it's Cena and he buries people? Sure. But Cena, every once in a while, when it's somebody that he really likes, he'll put them over. Just like he did with Kevin Owens. You mentioned Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
And granted, that wasn't part of the open challenge. And yeah, having somebody come out and do that to Roman Reigns would be cool. But with Cena, it was just a different situation because he wasn't, at the time, predestined to go in. We know exactly what Roman Reigns' path is going to be. We didn't really know what John Cena because he'd already done everything. So there was a little bit more unpredictability there. With Roman Reigns, we know he's going straight to WrestleMania. I feel it's with that belt, and I can't believe that there's any case to be made against that. If I'm proven wrong, great. That's awesome. They did something predictable. But this is part of their plan. He carries the IC title into Mania, and I think your scenario of all three members of the Shield holding all those titles at the end of the show, I think that's probably going to play out. I mean, that's such a stark, awesome image that why wouldn't it?
I know.
You know? So, I mean, honestly, would I be into it? I honestly kind of would, simply because it is fun to see who's going to come out next.
Exactly.
Like, you know, I'm a little kid like that. But would people be really into it? It would be, the excitement would be dampened for me because I know whoever comes out, they're going to lose because Roman Reigns is not going to drop that ice.
No, I understand that. But if it gives people a platform to showcase their talents, then I'm all for that.
I would be terrified if Aleister Black came out.
Oh, I know. I just brought his name up because he's the first person from NXT that I thought.
But could. No, that's a logical extension of what the open challenge should be.
Yeah.
Oh my God, anybody can come out and win this thing.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know.
I should have said Roderick Strong. Roderick Strong, his show from NXT. He's like, okay, yeah, Roderick's going to lose, but man, this could be an awesome
Roderick
match.
Looks good, win or loss.
Yes.
No, I agree with that. That'd be great.
That's why I think like Cedric Alexander could come up from 205 Live, put on a great match with Roman, and even in defeat, look great.
Yeah, I know. In his situation, I would just feel like, man. I mean, yeah, it'd be great. It'd be a great opportunity if he puts on one of those Jason Jordan-style matches where it's like, holy crap, he looked really good in defeat. Yes, you're right. That could do wonders for him. But still, seeing him come out and understanding completely, this is going to be a loss for him. Ugh. I don't know. It'd be a bummer.
I wouldn't focus so much on the results, just the process.
Wins and losses mean everything,
it's
man.
It's a predetermined sport, man.
Means everything. Okay, one of the three criteria.
Kayfabe. Yeah, but that's the third criteria. Second to...
Oh, you never told me that they were power ranked.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Being good is top criteria. Oh, legacy is second, and then kayfabe is third. Because kayfabe is largely out of your control, whereas the first two are partially... Well, being good is nearly entirely in your control.
Wrap it up.
Legacy, partially.
Wrap it up.
Next question from Adam Mayhem. Let's see what Adam Mayhem has to say.
Buenas tardes, friendo universi. Bienvenidos to another edition of Chit Chat with the Champ. I'm in a really good mood that I'm sure my job is about to crap all over. But, Steven Larson, I have a question for you guys. We've all been seeing this female call-ups and re-debuts and all that, you know, over a SmackDown and Raw this past week, and I'm loving it, especially because I absolutely adore Ruby Riott. But you know, you look around, you trickle around, you see, you know, you have like about 8 women in Raw, about 7 on SmackDown. With this edition of 3 and 3, you have about 21. You know, you add some Nikki Bellas in here and there. So I believe this is all coming and just building towards that female Royal Rumble in January, which is great. And I know that they're going to get a lot of TV because of that. After the Royal Rumble, debate this. What comes next? What are we going to do with all these females in order for them to get TV time? Do you guys think that they should have their own WWE Network show, just like 1 hour, like something like a 205 Live, but just females? Or do you think that would be considered some sort of like demotion type deal? All right, guys, take it easy. Too sweet.
Thank you, Adam Mayhem.
Thank you, Adam Mayhem.
So after the, do I go first here?
You
can. Yeah, I go first here. I mean, I there's no reason why they couldn't just simply chug along the way they've been chugging along.
That's probably what's going to happen.
Probably what's going to happen. If I had to sit here and speculate and offer up a topic for or something they could do different from what they're doing now with the women's division, I would say add a tag division. I'm not huge on the idea of having a women's only show because, well, I don't really have a reason for it, but I just feel like them being, you know, a part of, you know, the product that we already have is totally fine.
Well, that's been the scenario for years already to suddenly potentially take the women's division, if not, probably not entirely, but...
No, I don't think they'd do it entirely.
No, they wouldn't entirely, but to some effect, out of the regular program would seem odd.
Yeah, it would be a little odd.
And I think Triple H has already said that they have no plans
on
doing
a women's show. I would do a tag division. I mean, they've kind of... So over the past 2 years, part of this women's revolution has been anything the men do, we can do as well. And I think that's a great philosophy to have. They focused on the wrestling, and I think that's great. We've seen Hell in a Cell. We've seen Money in the Bank. We've seen we may see a Women's Royal Rumble coming up, and I think those are all great things. I think the last thing that you really maybe need to do is women's tag team wrestling. We've noted this many times. According to a couple sources, they've signed many people from the Mae Young Classic, and they're not stopping there, you know? So I could absolutely see women's tag division. You know, you get to jam more people in, you know, the same amount of screen time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see beyond the obvious issue of, well, how much time do we have in our show? But it's the WWE. Like, you know, look, man, you've got 5 hours of programming to mess with. Plus, there was some talk about a Facebook Live show that they've been, like, negotiating with or something to air after SmackDown. I don't know what's going on with that. But look, I think that a women's tag division would be really fun. I think it'd be great. I think it'd be a spotlight for more people to get on TV. Why not just go ahead and do that? It's, you know, I think if you bring that to Raw and SmackDown, or maybe just Raw, I don't know. You know, you have 3 hours on Raw to play with. And how many times do we say, man, it felt like a drag?
Yeah.
You know, so just add a women's tag division.
No, I don't think they have to do anything major. I think the latest call-ups and any additional signings can just add additional depth to both divisions, Raw and SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we'll hopefully see is new stories, new feuds, new matchups that we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
And just that alone will keep things fresh.
Mm-hmm.
People might not be on TV every week. But as we see with NXT, sometimes that works for the benefit of storylines,
mm-hmm.
where people are gone for a week or two, they come back and their presence feels more important because you don't see them every week.
Mm-hmm. Look, Shinsuke Nakamura wasn't on freaking TV this week.
I know. Last week he was a lumberjack. So maybe when he's actually involved in a real story, his presence will feel important because of it. Yeah, they have no idea what they're doing with him.
Next up.
And it's a bummer.
Christian, let's see what Christian has to say.
Hey, friendos. It's me again, Christian, here with another Matt Chat question. My question for you guys today is, of the debuts that we have either gotten teased for or have gotten in the past week, which was the better? Of course, you have Paige, Mandy Rose, and Sonya Deville on Raw. You have Sarah Logan, Ruby Riott, and oh my gosh, Liv Morgan on SmackDown, and you have Hideo Itami on 205 Live. So my question to you guys is, which is the better fit? Thank you guys again for all you do, and have a good one.
Thank you, Christian.
Thank you, Christian.
You have great affinity for your choice. You really like Ruby Riott.
I love me some Ruby Riott.
Yeah, she's great. She's great.
She's fantastic.
So for the sake of argument, I won't choose her.
Okay.
I'm going to choose Sonya Deville. And I know some people were a little harsh on her because of her promo on Monday. I will say this. In the face of what chance? She did not break character.
Yeah.
She did not lose her spot in her script.
Yeah.
She maintained her composure and finished that promo. As we saw in NXT, they were really in the process of establishing her character and establishing it fairly well. There was video packages, vignettes, showcasing her MMA training, but also, you know, like showing off who the character of Sonya Deville was in relation to all of that. Her matches in the ring stylistically were focused on MMA, but there was also opportunity to show her character. Serving as one of Paige's, as you like to call them, henchwomen, is a good fit for her right now, based on her packaging, based on her style, based on her character. She fits in, I feel like, pretty seamlessly with what Paige is trying to do and what WWE is trying to do with the Absolution faction. And it allows her an opportunity to not necessarily be in the foreground of a story, to learn on the job, wrestling five nights a week, get better in the ring, get better in the mic. And I think it's just a really good situation for her. I don't think she's been wrestling very long, but in that short amount of time, remember, we saw her when she was still Daria Baronado at a house show here.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And you could tell that she hadn't been doing it very long. Mm-hmm. And this, a year later, less than that, I think, she's shown a remarkable amount of improvement.
Yeah.
So my hope is, based on this situation, based on the fit with her character, her talents, her spot with Paige will give her an opportunity to grow as a performer.
Can I add something to your Sonya Deville bit?
Mm.
You know who she can, who I could see maybe a parallel with? Ken Shamrock.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know?
Yeah.
Because he didn't need a lot of words, and in fact, he was best when he didn't say a lot of words, but her look is so legit.
Yeah.
Like, like with Mandy Rose, I've said this before, and I'm not, you know, I don't want to criticize, but with Mandy Rose, she does kind of come off. I mean, a lot of people have said this. She kind of comes off like a blonde Eva Marie.
A little bit.
And I kind of see that. I mean,
superficially, just, I can see
superficially,
that.
Superficially, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The general look. She's, based on what we've seen of her in the ring, she's way better than Eva Marie.
Sonya Deville looks like she's going to eat you up.
Yeah.
She looks like she's going to do violence on you, and I think that's fantastic. So if they stick with that part of her, where she might be the one, and sometimes it's the subtle things that you can throw in there that the crowd will recognize, where she's the one who comes in and delivers the kill shot.
Yeah.
She's the one who comes in and people get kind of more freaked out about because you know what she can do. She taps some people out.
Yeah.
That can, she can totally be kind of the Ken Shamrock.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that I could have mentioned in the with the women's division is you have so many women competitors now. Maybe give, instead of a tag division, maybe give them a mid-card belt.
Yeah.
Because I could see her as sort of the IC champion of the women's division.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
Down the line. I love Ruby Riott. I think she's fantastic. I think ever since the moment she hit NXT, she was absolutely ready for prime time. So this call-up makes absolute sense for her to be called up as a leader of her own little mini faction, the Riott Squad.
It's, I wonder, I'm guessing no, if they're going to connect them in any way to Absolution.
That's what I was waiting for to see on SmackDown. It seems like no.
Seems like no.
I'm fine with
They're
that.
They're just operating with symmetry.
Look, man, as much as we love to sit here and say, okay, man, look, how great would it be? You got Kevin Owens wearing an Undisputed Era shirt and Undisputed Eras at NXT, and then Daniel Bryan's got all those friends there, the Mount Rushmore of wrestling.
Thank you.
And then you got Paige coming up with NXT girls, and then there's this happening, and all seems mirrored. I don't think it is.
No.
I think they just take this day by day, man.
Yeah.
I really think they do. So I don't think there's any grand scheme. But hey, you know what? In my mind, that's better for Ruby Riott because she won't be an underling of Paige. You know, she can be her own thing. And I honestly, at this point, I really don't see her being heel that long. I think that she, her packaging is so, I want to say charming, and you just want to get into her total vibe, you know, like her music and everything. And I get that, like, maybe they should have changed that because she's a heel now, but I don't know, man. I think that her packaging was perfect from day one.
Yeah.
She's packaged like a superstar regardless of where she stands.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to start cheering for her at some point regardless of who she's fighting there in the ring, because I think she has such a unique look. She has such a unique look, but she's also got this really relatable vibe.
Yeah.
Like, you look at Charlotte and you get I literally got intimidated being next to Charlotte during that interview a year ago.
Yeah.
2 years, whenever it was.
A year ago, yeah. A year and a half ago.
Ruby Riott looks like somebody who is like, you know, the punk girl next door.
Yeah.
And that there's something about that that you can make so much money off of.
And she's also really good in the ring.
She's really good in the ring. She's ridiculously mm-hmm. good in the ring. Mm-hmm. She is like an absolutely perfect addition to the main roster.
Yeah.
Next up, we've got our good friendo, Martin Garcia. Let's see what Martin has to say.
Hey, friendos. Martin here. I was watching your dirt sheet of WWE might be going to another company like Fox in 2019 when their deal is done with Universal. And that kind of reminded me of how Bischoff was buying WCW and with his investment group Fusion. And he was even talking to Fox. Most importantly, going to FX, and also that he wanted to make a big pay-per-view called The Big Bang for the return of WCW. They're going to be off air for a while. And so that's my Matt Chat question for today. So what if WWE didn't buy it? What if Bischoff actually bought WCW with his investment group Fusion? What would we have? How would... Would it be great or wouldn't? Or it wouldn't be great? Would we have 10 more years of NWOs and all that stuff? Or would we have greater and better talent and we would still have the Monday Night Wars? Tell me, guys.
Thank you, Martin.
Thank you, Martin. You want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. So
alternate universe time.
Yeah, Larson. I know. I think in a previous thing I said something, if WCW was still around, they wouldn't actually be around. They'd be out of business.
Yeah.
But you're going to take up that position this time. So instead... I think they would probably still be in business, but they would essentially be in the same position that Impact is in right now.
Ouch!
Which might be worse than being out of business.
Which, yeah, let's see. Let's set the timer on how long that's going to last.
It'd
be worse. Wow. That's good.
You know, they'd be dealing with constant money issues.
Yeah.
Seemingly virtually on the edge of bankruptcy at every turn.
Mm-hmm.
Issues with talent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just kind of feels like... I always go back to the story of Hall and Nash locking Bischoff in the closet.
Yeah.
When he fired X-Pac.
Yeah, right.
So he was supposed to be the boss.
Yeah.
And yet they didn't respect him.
Oh, no.
He didn't have any real authority.
No.
He just liked motorcycles a lot.
He liked motorcycles.
And I don't see why that would change if his plan was to continue with WCW as it was at the time of early 2001.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people would still respect him. I don't think they respect his authority.
Yeah.
And as such, I think he'd be completely like run over at every opportunity. And that's no way to run a business.
Correct.
So for that reason, I think if they would still be in business, it would be more of an Impact type situation.
Yeah, egos in pro wrestling is something to really you have to deal with. I mean, look at what happened under Bischoff's watch. You lost Jericho. You lost Benoit. You lost Guerrero. You lost Raven. You got Raven and then you lost him.
Saturn.
You lost Saturn. You lost Big Show. You lost on and on and on.
Yeah.
So are you left with Hogan, Macho Man? You'll be left with, and your point about them being Impact is probably correct. Because in Impact, number one, Impact, of course, started out as TNA, which, of course, was sort of designed to be WCW 2.0.
Yeah. And especially when Hogan and Rusev and Bischoff showed up. A few years after TNA started, that's definitely what it was with Sting.
Generally speaking, Impact has been the landing space for, and these days is completely different, but also not. You got Alberto El Patron, who can't be in the WWE anymore. You got Matt Sydal, who can't be in the WWE anymore. For a second, you had Low Ki, who can't be pretty much anywhere anymore. They have some fantastic talent. They got the Chris brothers, Sammy Callahan,
Trevor Lee.
He's
Moose.
Amazing. Moose, Sienna. You got some great people there. And I really do hope that they pull out of whatever funk they're in right now.
Yeah.
But I think you're probably right because WCW only would have ended up being the landing spot for people
who couldn't
be in WWE.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. That's, I think, the natural evolution of a guy in power who has no respect, you know? And from all accounts, that was kind of Bischoff. You know, people would just sort of run him over.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think they'd just be out of business. I don't think. I mean,
well, I mean, I think that's the natural conclusion where you're running an operation where no one respects you. You start hemorrhaging money.
Mm-hmm.
You start signing people who aren't worth the investment or aren't paying off on the investment, and you have money troubles. You go out of business.
I mean, here's the thing. You know, TNT. I mean, the entire reason Eric Bischoff and his group didn't buy WCW is because TNT didn't want wrestling on their show anymore.
Yeah, AOL decided they wanted out of the wrestling business.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think there was one person who kind of ultimately made that decision. I forget what his name was, but he was the guy who was like, yeah, we don't want this on the channel anymore, even though the ratings were decent. And so if that guy had not existed and Eric Bischoff bought WCW, I don't know. I just feel like it would have been. You look at what happened when Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan came into TNA, you know, and what happened? Like a place that previously we saw, you know, young up and comers like AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, all those guys, you know, coming up. All of a sudden you had Hulk Hogan in there mm-hmm. dominating the spotlight again, mm-hmm. you know. And granted, yeah. I know he was working with younger guys like TJP and I think a couple of Austin Aries, maybe a couple of others. I don't know. I really wasn't watching at the time. You know, it just, there was nothing exciting about it. You know, it was just even Hulk's theme music was just a really bad ripoff of the NWO music.
Yeah.
And that's what you're going to get. Eric Bischoff, what did he have some good qualities in terms of creatively what he did? Sure.
Yeah.
Here and there. You know, he knew the right people to rip off. He knew how to use he actually knew how to use his cruiserweight division to a degree.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, was his tenure also kind of overrated by a lot of people?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, they would not be in business. Next up, we've got Daryl the Cat Takahashi with a question for us.
What's good, Steve Larson? Many friendos out there. It's the Cat, Daryl Takahashi. My question for Matt Chat this week is, what do you feel was an overall worst WWE product? WWE's reboot of ECW or the original NXT that was recorded in 2009-2010?
Thank you, the Cat.
This is rough. This is rough, but I'm going to say, wait, who goes first? Oh, I'll go first because you went first last time.
Yeah.
I'm going to say what they like to call the WWECW, the ECW reboot. I remember watching this. I remember being very excited about this when it was first announced. Ooh, WWE, they're going to have Paul Heyman in there writing it and taking over everything and freaking they're going to bring back all the originals and then it's on Sci-Fi Channel. Really? Well, that could be cool. They have a vampire character, really. Oh, Lordy B, that's not good. That's what it was. It was, crowd-wise, what 205 Live is now. Because they would film after the actual shows when the crowd was dead.
Yeah.
They didn't care. Then they started bringing in, like, Christian. And they'd bring in, well, look, I like Bobby Lashley. But Bobby Lashley was a main event polished guy. ECW is not about polished guys, you know? And so, to me, and granted, I don't know the exact history of ECW. In fact, there's a part of me that wants to go watch some of it. Maybe we'll do a going in review on like a random WWE ECW episode. I read some of Botchamania Matthews from Botchamania. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He does reviews on old ECWs, and sometimes they're absolutely fascinating because like the weirdest names would come through there. But I mean, come on, man! You go back and you look at the excitement and the energy that you saw in the original ECW back in the classic days of like, you know, 96, 97, 98 even. And man, it was just to watch a polished product with zero energy, with no passion, with a random cast of characters. Kane, Big Show were ECW champions. That was terrible. You know, I mean, if they had the one name I'll say that was actually kind of cool was when they brought in CM Punk in sort of his, I think he debuted on ECW, WWE's ECW, or yeah, if he didn't debut there, he was eventually their champion. And that's a great name to have for like an ECW reboot. But I was excited when they sent out that survey that said, would you be interested in a TV-14 ECW? Because if you look at those old ECWs, I said this before, it wouldn't take much for some cool, and I know there's lots of great indie promotions out there, Wrestle Circus, House of Hardcore, all sorts of great indie promotions out there who have kind of a cool vibe, But like some of the promos that they would do, that was just simply, hey, I got the video camera, let's do a quick thing right here.
Yeah, yeah.
That made it look, you know, I know Paul Heyman was very influenced by the Tarantino vibe. that made it look like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think it'd be great if WWE brought it back, but did it right, you know?
Yeah.
That did it in a correct way with some blood. Some blood's okay. Some cursing, TV-14. You know, some old school type promos. None of this cheesy, overly scripted backstage stuff.
Yeah.
It can be rough around the edges. That'd be great. But it wouldn't be anything like the original reboot, which was god awful. Anyways, continue on.
Please. Yeah, the ECW reboot wasn't good. But I'm going to sit here and try to make the case it's still better than the original version of NXT.
Okay.
I'm happy you mentioned Bobby Lashley and CM Punk, because I think more than anything, those two guys being on the reboot of ECW is what made it.
Okay.
You had two wrestlers who are ready for the main roster,
mm-hmm.
who were burgeoning as stars in ECW, mm-hmm. carrying the brand. And then eventually you had John Morrison. He established himself as a single star in ECW. And yeah, we were you know, like up and coming stars was the reason for NXT, and there were a number of them in the first couple seasons of NXT. Namely, Daniel Bryan
mm-hmm.
was a competitor in the first season.
True.
Nonetheless, just like a wrestling based game show, essentially, is kind of weird. Wasn't my thing. ECW wasn't boring ever. It might have been bad.
Yeah.
Sometimes bad wrestling is way better than boring wrestling.
That's not a bad point to make.
So give me ECW reboot. All early right. CM Punk. Early Bobby Lashley.
Well, maybe we'll have to go back on a go
and revisit some of that stuff. Agreed.
Let's see who's up next. JT Hosak has a question. Let's see what JT has to say.
What's up, friendos? This is JT, the Professor Hosak, with another question for Matt Chat. Sorry, I look like trash. I'm taking a break off, but, you know, nobody likes garbage better than Braun Strowman. Anyways, I had a question for you. You know, a lot of the times we talk about kind of, sometimes things get a little stale, and we talk about the whims of Vince McMahon and the McMahon family. I was wondering, should or would the WWE benefit from having somebody new at the helm? A new family, a new individual. Steve, I'd like you to say yes, and who would that be? And Larson, no. And why the McMahon family is still best for the business. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you, JT.
Thank you.
I go first, right?
You go first.
All right. Vince sometimes, yeah, he's out of touch. He is.
Are we good?
No.
No.
But you got to give the man credit for taking a regional promotion and building it into a national wrestling juggernaut.
Oh, for sure.
So Vince these days, it's easy for us to criticize because he does get a lot of things wrong. But in the grand scheme of things, he's gotten a lot of things in terms of wrestling right.
Well, because of him, we have a job. Go ahead.
Yes. So, no, you keep the WWE in the McMahon family because when he retires or passes away, the company will be in good hands, namely Stephanie and Triple H. We've seen what Triple H has done with NXT. And most weeks, it is the best hour of WWE programming that they produce.
True.
In terms of storyline, in terms of in-ring competition, NXT is, without a doubt, the best in-ring product that WWE produces. One would assume that Triple H, I mean, he said before that he recognizes that NXT is a different flavor of wrestling, and that you know, like he compared WWE to, you know, like top 40 pop music, whereas, you know, NXT is more of, you know, like an underground band. But that's not to say that he can't bring some of the general principles he uses in NXT, you know, long-term planning, vision, logical booking, quality in-ring competition to the main roster. And I would think that, you know, when he takes over, we might see kind of a rebirth of WWE, at least a refresh button, and hopefully it'll generate a lot more excitement about the product because people will see that there's something new being done with it. That's my hope. You know, we could probably suggest half a dozen or a dozen people that could take over WWE from the booking standpoint and do a good job. But that's just one aspect of running this giant company. There's, I don't think there's anybody in the world that would be ready to take over this huge billion-dollar corporation that has the wrestling background plus the business acumen. I think it's got to stay in the McMahon family.
The correct answer is Triple H. What you said is exactly correct. NXT is his baby. So if there's another family to take over, it'd be the Levesque family.
Oh, they're McMahons. Come on.
I know. I know. And you're absolutely right. Look, you're absolutely right. There's no other family that that should be running the WWE. I think on camera is one thing. Off camera is another thing. Triple H, Stephanie, I think they're a duo that I cannot wait until they take the reins and we see what happens, because I think you're right. I think a lot of it is going to look like some of the better aspects of NXT in terms of, like you said, the long-term booking, people having a vision, people understanding what their roles are. We've seen Sasha Banks kind of, you know, compare and contrast the two in a podcast interview with Sam Roberts. Yep. When she said, man, in NXT, I knew what my character was. I knew what I was doing week to week. And I have no idea what I'm doing week to week in WWE on the main roster.
Yeah.
So I do hope that he'll bring the better aspects of NXT over, the aspects that will lead to more dramatic long-term planning. We'll see some stuff play out like we see in New Japan right now. We see they do long-term, or we see how they do long-term planning as well on a very big stage. that said, who knows what's going to happen. If I can absolutely see one day when Vince McMahon says, you know what, if it's not me doing it, I'm going to go ahead and sell to a WME, to a giant. I'm not sure they'd be able to afford it now after they bought UFC.
Yeah.
But, you know, who knows? WWE might be purchased by Disney or something.
Yeah.
You know? And so I could see a day when somebody else is running the WWE, and I have no idea who that would be. But if it isn't Triple H, then it's not going to be – it's gonna be a toss-up. It's going to be really, really bizarre. I have no idea. I have no idea who – wrestling is such a weird, singular business.
I mean, I think we could come up with, like I said, a half a dozen, if not a dozen names that can handle the creative aspects of it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But just doing it all.
Yeah.
Handling the creative aspect, handling – the business aspects, the various business aspects of running such a huge company.
Well, the problem is going to be a lot like what we see. We see this.
Not that Vince does everything, but he does oversees everything, and he has his hands in everything.
But we've seen this with like what you said with Eric Bischoff earlier. You know, when you have somebody who the wrestlers look, wrestlers and their egos. And these days, I think things are a little bit different. But back in the day, you know, when you listen to shoot interviews from guys like Kevin Nash, Scott Steiner, you know, guys from an older generation, and they talk about Eric Bischoff, or they talk about wherever they go, well, this guy didn't know what he was doing. He's never laced up his boots. There's a weird ego thing when if you haven't done it, then there's not going to be a lot of respect there.
Yeah.
Now, I think the newer crop of talent might be a little bit different. You know, it's, I think they have a bit more of a professional take on things. And to a degree, I think a lot of them check their egos at the door. I mean, you hear that with Braun Strowman. That guy seems humble as can be.
Yeah.
And he can eat any person alive in that business.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It'd be absolutely bizarre to see somebody else take over the reins of the WWE if that ever comes to pass.
Yeah.
The right answer is Jerry Jarrett.
This isn't 1992 anymore.
No, it's not.
When he was in line to take over, should Vince go to jail?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think of who could. Man, I don't know. I mean, it'd be like.
Well, what's the name of the guy that runs Evolve that used to book for Ring of Honor? Gabe
Sapolsky?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, from a creative aspect, I think he could probably handle it. Like I said, I can name
hire the Landis kid, Max Landis.
Yeah.
Hire him. Hire Steven Larson.
There you go. Name. But just in terms of doing it all.
Yeah, right.
That's got to be overwhelming.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, I also think that that's going to be the case, like, when the new regime takes over.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like there's going to be a lot more delegating. You know, hey, you're good at this. You do this.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Anyways, that's it for Matt Chat. Thank you again, patrons. At $20 and up, you can a month, you can
submit your video questions.
Get your face on our show.
Yes.
And, yeah, until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye. Bye.